first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Doggone right. Expressing and exercising our First Amendment rights here. Karen Cataline with you live at 1 o'clock Tuesday and Thursday Eastern on 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM. If you're listening on podcast, if you're listening from space, you can listen from anywhere. If you're listening live, you can call in at 603-816-1590. We love callers. We love for you to be able to express your opinion as well. Were you listening to the news? Yes, the presidential potted plant has COVID, despite the fact that he's been vaxxed and double boosted, that is. Did you hear the little soundbite by Nancy Pelosi? I understand the symptoms are mild, and that's been my experience as well. How come nobody in the propaganda media asks her, nobody asks anybody anything that's outside of the narrative? Why don't they ask her why all the draconian restrictions on you and me, us peasants, for 2.5 years, including forced mask wearing, which is coming back, I guarantee, forced vaxxing, jack boots on the necks of people, military and others, who don't want the experimental vax, that they are covering up material on the damages and the damage being done because of that. So here's the reason why nobody asked that, because it was never about COVID. The restrictions, the most extraordinary hindrances to our freedom, to our liberty, all in the name of COVID, all in the name of it's for your own good, but it wasn't for our own good, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just the Benjamin Franklin quote that says that those who would sacrifice safety sacrifice liberty for a little safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And I paraphrase, most people are familiar with that quote. So just ask yourself, how come they can do an about face so quickly? They've been fear-mongering about COVID for the last 2.5 years. Fear, 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 fear porn, constant fear. And so sad, so tragic, and so criminal. I see people every day who live in fear of this COVID right now. And yet she just very nonchalantly recognizes that the symptoms can be incredibly mild. She experienced them as mild, and yet she doesn't mind shutting down businesses, shutting down the liberties, the God-given liberties of citizens. Because, you know, we're only peasants. We're not important. They're who is important. Well, enough of that. I got too many other things to get to. I just posted something coming to the rescue of a threat they manufactured. Nancy Pelosi once again. Nancy Pelosi. House Democrats move to protect contraception. I'm laughing because I'd be crying if I weren't laughing. House Democrats move to protect contraception from the Supreme Court. How about that? So they create the crisis that is preposterous on its face. It's nonsensical. Nobody anywhere is proposing that contraception be outlawed. No one, even the most conservative Christians I know, want to take birth control away from people. Maybe they don't want taxpayers to have to pay for it, since you can get it pretty cheaply even today. There are tons of programs designed to help people pay for their birth control. But the very notion that Christians and conservatives, not always the same thing, don't believe in birth control or would take it away from people who would like to use it is not only nonsensical, but it is slanderous, because if people used birth control, we can't control people's sexual behavior, nor do I certainly want to. I don't in any way care what people do behind closed doors if they are adults and of the age of consent. Leave children out of it. But if you're an adult, you've reached the age of consent, and it's consenting adults, do what you want. Just don't force me to either like it, approve, or fund it. I know that's much too commonsensical for the average Democrat, but see, I don't even think they believe this. I don't think they believe this stuff. They don't believe that there's any appreciable movement in any way to hinder contraception in this country, or to stop, or have a Supreme Court decide that contraception is in danger and they're going to outlaw it along with abortion. In fact, as I've said, and I hope I said it at least once, those who are so against abortion, many Christians and conservatives, would rather people use birth control instead of using abortion as a means of birth control. So you could say that there's an appreciable number of people who are pro-birth control. Again, they just don't want to pay for it. But suddenly, House Democrats, who have a monopoly of power, in fact, there's a monopoly of power in Washington, D.C., not always to do with a filibuster, but you've got a Democrat majority. Sometimes Kamala Harris has to break the tie. But there is no crisis here. And yet the Democrats spent a lot of time. They don't spend any time on inflation because they like inflation. They don't spend any time on the unbelievable burden that high gas prices are placing on everyday citizens whom they claim to want to, whom they claim they care so much about. No, they spend time on creating a crisis so they can roll out the solution to that crisis and indoctrinate still a whole bunch of bandwagoners who believe that Christians and conservatives and those mean old Republicans, not all of them are even conservative, all those Republicans, want to take away your birth control and ban it. Meanwhile, it is Democrats who ban things they don't like or approve of. You don't see anybody on the Democrat side saying, you know what, if people want to own an AR, which is not an assault rifle, by the way, it's not a perfect compare and contrast, but if somebody wants to own an AR-15, which is not an assault rifle, in order to defend themselves and their families, they're law-abiding, they've taken training, they respect guns much more than Democrats do, and their lethality. No, we're going to ban that because we're going to tell you how to live. And so once again, it is directed and intentional projection. I don't think Democrats are unconscious in this. There's a very different standard by which you diagnose, if you will, individual paranoia, where you project your fears onto other people because you're doing that. No, this is a tactic. They smear their opposition with what is totally false, unfounded. There is no threat of that happening. But this way, they get a two for one. They get a twofer. They not only get to terrorize and fearmonger and make sure that their base is in line with hating Republicans as being Neanderthals who want to control everybody else, which is what they do, but they get to propose a solution and claim that they are the solution to the problem. They created the problem. And this is true of most of the leftist strategy, which controls the Democrat Party. There was always an old phrase, which I've used many times, but I didn't come up with it. Leftists break your leg and then hand you a crutch. Well, lately, since the age and the advent of COVID and COVID hoaxery, is that a word? They don't just break your leg and hand you a crutch. They break your leg and then they force a prescription on you. They force medicine on you that not only won't help you, but will harm you worse than your broken leg. So I guess we have to update that thing. We have to update that because, in fact, it's worse than all of that. We have seen the censorship of people who ask questions on the origins of the coronavirus in the first place. You know, where did it come from? And did it originate in a China lab or was it an accident? But either way, most people agree it originated in Wuhan, in China, in communist China that supposedly is supposed to be an opponent of ours that means us harm. So it's not, is it really that hard to believe that they would unleash a virus on the rest of the world that helps them to become, to rise to greater power and prominence on the world stage? No. None of the things that people ask questions about are unreasonable. And I will contend again if you hear me say anything else, because I say a lot of stuff. I spout off a lot. That's why we call it spouting off. And you can spout off too, either in an email to me at Karen@KarenCataline.com. Just write me. I think we're being heard by Getter and a whole bunch of other places, Getter and Facebook and a whole bunch more. But if I say nothing else that you've heard me say, notice how selective the left is about censoring and shutting down dissent. It is outrageous that anybody could succeed in the United States of America at shutting down dissent. This country was built on the premise that more ideas, more dissent is better, that we change power in this country in an orderly, civil fashion, and that we make policy with vociferous debate. And even the ugliest of views should have the light of day shone upon them so that you can argue them and show how false they are. So I contend and will continue to look how selective they are at shutting down dissent and telling you that certain ideas are dangerous. If thoughts are dangerous, but violence isn't, if thoughts and beliefs and what you have in your own private heart and mind are dangerous, but burning down a Wendy's isn't, then that's a lie. And whatever they selectively choose to censor, to shut down, just like shutting down businesses, shutting down commerce, shutting down cities with this falseness of the hoax of COVID, which they may well bring back just in time for the midterms. Whatever they are censoring, it means that what they're pushing is a lie. Just count on that. Because it can't stand up to scrutiny. It can't stand up to questions and dissent. Notice that they don't, or at least right now, they're not shutting down all ideas that they disagree with. They haven't yet shut down the idea that being pro-life is somehow, you know, it's too dangerous to be pro-life. I see that coming right down the road, though, I'll tell you. I see that coming. But notice what I'm saying here. If they're selectively censoring, it means they are lying or consider it a lie. When we come back, I can't wait to tell you who we have as guest today. Really great show. Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off on WSMN. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off here on WSMN, our flagship station in Nashua, New Hampshire. And I'm so proud that it is our flagship station, the wonderful 1590 AM and 95.3 FM, Nashua, New Hampshire, because New Hampshire is the live free or die state. And there's so much to recommend that, and never has it been really more true. We're still waiting for our guest, but I think we're going to be able to have her. Oh, we have her. I am so delighted, really looking forward to this interview. I look forward to them all, but this is a special treat. Somebody I've watched and admired from afar for a very long time. Her name is Dr. Alveda King. She's chairman of the Center for the American Dream at the America First Policy Institute. And I have that up on my screen right now. Dr. King is the daughter of the late slain civil rights activist, Reverend A.D. King, and the niece of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. She is a Fox News contributor and host of the Fox Nation show, Alveda King's House. Dr. King is a former college professor, served in the Georgia State House of Representatives, and is a former presidential appointee, a 2021 recipient of the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award, and we've got her, Dr. Alveda King, thank you for joining us here on Spouting Off.
It's so good to join you. I only have about 10 minutes. I apologize, but I'm glad to say hello.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did. Let's just start then and take advantage of the time that we have. I just got to ask you this question. We're here to talk about Buffalo, New York, and Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. But okay. I have to ask you this. They hate colorblindness, the left, until a black person has an opinion they just don't approve of. And then suddenly they're completely colorblind and act as if a conservative of any stripe doesn't exist. In fact, they stick it to black conservatives more viciously than most, if that's even possible. I'd love for you to comment on that because I think you've experienced it firsthand.
We have a lovely book, We're Not Colorblind. I wrote it with my friend Ginger Howard. I would advise everybody to get the book because I tell people all the time, we are not colorblind. We can see unless we have a medical condition. Jesus gives sight to the blind. So if anybody is colorblind for any reason, either go to the doctor, a human doctor, or go to Dr. Jesus, because we should see color. You know, I'm sitting talking to somebody and they may have on a blue dress, their hair might be brown, their shoes might be another color, the trees behind them are green. Then I look at them, I say, but I can't see your skin. What color are you? I'm colorblind. Well, no, we're not colorblind. We should see ethnicity. That is what skin color is. There is one blood, Acts 17:26, of one blood God made all people. So we're just not colorblind. And Ginger and I get a lot of pushback on that. So people, well, I am colorblind. I said, then go to the doctor. Well, what do you mean?
So
I don't see color. Yes, you do see color, you know.
What follows after that if our hope and prayer is that color is not the main factor in people getting a fair shot, color not the main factor in, well, the left makes color everything. Everyone's racist with whom they disagree.
So we have to know that race baiting from either side is wrong. And so when I mean race baiting, always throwing the skin color into the equation, whether it fits or not. And there is systemic racism. There is white privilege. And let me tell you where all those come from. White privilege, Margaret Sanger, a Caucasian woman, probably had blonde hair, blue eyes, all of that. She thought that her race, as she called it, because there's one blood and one human race, but the Aryan race, the people with the blonde hair and the blue eyes, were superior. Anybody else who was left, they were on a chain, you know, and at the bottom of the chain, in her mind, were what were called the Negroes in those days, but the African Americans. So when we say to a Margaret Sanger, we're all the same race. Oh, no, 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 our race is superior. Now, let me give you an example of systemic racism.
Please.
Margaret Sanger and her people would give money, scholarships, awards, all kinds of things to groups and people. And with that, they would indoctrinate people to that critical race theory, that there's a superior race. And so the blacks, of course, had to sit in lower, and they might get the scholarships and stuff and be very beholden. Then they would elect officials that would uphold that thought process. And so the tax dollars would follow that. That is called systemic racism. That is called white privilege, because if you were Caucasian, they had the way that the laws were structured, the Caucasian community would get benefits more easily. They did the same thing for women, for example. For a long time, women could not own the businesses or be the kind of landowners and everything. And so it had to be the men who had the authority and had the power. So because of that, you had laws. And so women began to fight and protest for women's rights. And blacks and then later Latinos, Asians had those problems when they came to this country. The Native Americans were almost eradicated during the period of time in this history. So people fighting over ethnicity and skin color is totally not new. It is also unscriptural, because the Bible says, of one blood, God created all people to live together on the face of the earth. So we should have human dignity for everyone.
That's beautiful. Let me ask you this. Do you think there is systemic racism today? Because that is the charge. The left
systemic
makes.
Racism still exists within the laws of the United States, wherein our tax dollars were paying for abortion until recently, with the reversal of the Dobbs case where Roe v. Wade was reversed and the question of abortion went back to the state. So our tax dollars were paying for abortion, and since some of them were specifically designed to lower the population of the black community. Total systemic racism. There are other things on the books today that do that kind of selective discrimination in the name of supposedly doing good. For instance, the welfare system should be overhauled totally, because with the welfare checks and everything, over a period of time, if a woman was married, she and her husband could not get welfare, but if she kicked him out of the house, she could get welfare checks. And every time she had another baby, she could get a bigger check. That is systemic. That is on purpose. So
that
all of that is systemically designed. I don't know if you could agree with that or like it, but absolutely.
Well, you're giving a total new meaning to the definition that we've been handed. What you're describing is quite different and better explained than what we get from the race baiters that tell us that if you have white skin, you're racist, and if you have black skin, you don't have to be held accountable for
because
your behavior.
Because you're a victim, you see?
Right.
So all of that is unscriptural, because of one blood, God made all people. So from the womb to the tomb into eternity, I'm having to add that lately. I used to just say womb to tomb, or life is sacred and everything, but womb to the tomb into eternity. Human dignity is important. regardless of skin color, regardless of age, regardless of whether you were born a man or one boy or girl or whatever. All of these things have to be considered, but we have to consider it through the lens of God creating male and female, created through them, of one blood, God made all people. We have to consider those truths.
Dr. Alveda King, what do you want to leave us with? Because I know that you probably need to go in a couple minutes. We have until 20 minutes before the hour, but if you need to go early, please, by all means, tell us what you want to leave us with and how we can find you and follow you more. What's your overall message?
Very briefly, I want to talk about Justice Thomas. He's a friend, he and his wife. I love them very much. I'm so glad that God gave courage to the United States of the Supreme Court. Those justices, not just the ones appointed by President Trump, there were three, but the ones who had held the court for so long, Justice Thomas being one of the main ones. So with great respect that they heard from the Lord, took strength from the Lord, and were able to judge accordingly. And so I have great regard and tremendous prayers for Justice Thomas. Now, the way to find me, alvedaking.com, and if you, when you go to alvedaking.com, you'll see America First Policy Institute, and you can click and find me there. You can see Speak for Life, and you can find me there. I founded Speak for Life, and I'm the director for the Center for the American Dream with America First Policy Institute. So those are some of the things that I do, and people don't, Alveda King's house on Fox Nation. I produce and sing and act and all that. So check it out. You sing and act too in your show?
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. So, what did you want us, other than really respecting Justice Thomas, I'm getting emails that say we need to pray for him and his wife because they're under attack. Is there something you're asking, you want to ask us to do? With regard to that, other than
just continue to
pray
for them and speak kindly to them, pray for them, and for all Americans who are trying to do or who are doing, standing up with courage. Also, my dad, Reverend Alfred Daniel Williams King, today is a very special day for that. We are remembering Daddy today. He died on July 21st, 1969. A year or so after his brother, Martin Luther King Jr., was killed. So my daddy, Reverend Alfred Daniel Williams King, and you can Google the A.D. King Foundation.com, right. I think, and find out about daddy as well.
And this very day, huh? In Judaism, we call that his yahrzeit. We call that the anniversary. That's a very, very important day, Dr. King. Mm-hmm. So we're glad you mentioned that. Very important. Dr. Alveda King, we're going to let you go because you asked. We'd love to keep you, but it's up to you if you need to go.
I've got to run now, it was so great speaking with you. God bless you.
And God bless you, too. Thank you for joining us. We so appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
So, goodbye. That is Dr. Alveda King, and, she defies a lot of groups. That's what she does. And so you can find her at the America First Policy Institute, and how valuable it is to talk to people from all walks of life who not only have common sense, but something I was mentioning to a relative of mine, regardless of how you conceive of God, and there's as many ways of doing that as there are people. It's part of our responsibility in life to seek God and to try to make connection or not, or decide on those bigger questions or say you don't know. But I sure want to stand with, and I don't always say I don't know anything anymore, but I would rather stand with people who answer and who feel accountable to God than those who want to be God in their universe and in everyone else's. So very important. That is what this conflict that we're seeing on so many fronts is shaping up to be a war between those who respect the free will of others and those who don't. And that does not mean they're all Democrats or all Republicans, although I very rarely see Democrats stand up and say, no, I believe in free will. I believe in respecting differences of opinion. Remember, this is what the left used to preach about all the time, diversity, diversity. But we found out over a period of time that diversity to the radical left means ethnicity, means race, means organizing people into groups based on physical characteristics they really were born with and can do nothing about. The exact opposite of merit, the exact opposite of individualism on which this country was founded. And we're finding out that the map is changing. No longer is it even, well, it is a little bit left versus right, Republican versus Democrat. It's freedom lovers and tyrants, people who think that because they believe something, you should be forced to believe it too. That has its roots in Marxism and totalitarianism, ladies and gentlemen. It always has, and it always will. There are people that feel so strongly about something, and they've been indoctrinated for so long to be afraid of the weather. We're expecting an executive order about being told what we must or must not do based on climate change, which used to be global warming, but that was preposterous. I guess they're going to do it now since we're in a heat wave, but not too long ago, we were in a cold wave. Not too long ago, I didn't see them making policy when there was, you know, 2 feet of snow on the ground in Colorado. It's called the weather, ladies and gentlemen. And instead of arguing the point, if you disagree, you're called a climate denier, just like you're called an election denier and a COVID denier. This is such an insult that I don't even want to talk about it. Anyway, I do want to talk about this. We got to take a break. When we come back, we are going to have Fred Galvin join us, and I'll tell you about him right after this. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Another bonus show on Friday, and we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com, and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference in all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and The Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story. my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We're already, boy, it just goes so fast. We're already into our third segment of Spouting Off here at WSMN and places all over the country. How often have we gotten a sneak peek about who someone really is who's in the public eye? Well, I have contended for a long time that one of the things Trump did, and there were so many good things he did, but if you were to say one of the things he did on a grand scale, it was to expose people for who they really were and are. This was amazing to watch as Donald Trump had a very, very steep learning curve and appointed people who he later found he had to part ways with because they weren't who they professed to be. Such a person was General James Mad Dog Mattis, who we had such high hopes for. He didn't even make it through the Trump term. Here to talk about that and who wrote a book about this very subject, how Mattis betrayed his fellow Marines at the behest of the deep state. Can you imagine such a thing? Is retired Marine Major, retired Marine Major Fred Galvin, who wrote the book, forgive me, I just got lost, A Few Bad Men, which details the mendacity and the mad dishonesty of retired Marine General Mad Dog Mattis. And we're going to welcome him right now. Sorry about that. Fred Galvin joins us right now here on Spouting Off. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Karen. Appreciate being your guest.
Well, it is good to have you too. It, you know, it says in front of my notes here, be Fred Gavin. I think that's what I went, Yeah, so hello, B. No, hi, Fred. And it's great to have you. Tell us about why you decided to write this book and maybe some of what a lot of people did not know about General Mattis.
Yes, this book is very important as it's the largest employer in the United States, the Department of Defense, when you add all active reserve, civilians, contractors, and also it is what, after entitlements, but I'm talking non-discretionary spending, it's what we spend the most money on in our federal budget. So when you think of the lives that, if you stacked Walmart and Amazon together until just recently, and you combine them, that would be just less than the total number of employees in the Department of Defense. But, And one of the things, Karen, is Amazon can't put you on bread and water, but they can in the military. And Walmart can't sentence you to death. But I was accused of mass murder, and this was completely false. The Taliban propaganda machine fed this to our military, and our military leaders knew that this was false, so much so that they had the 30 sworn testimonies of all of the Americans on the patrol when we were ambushed. They had my specific polygraph test, but who was the convening authority? Lieutenant General Jim Mattis, who just prior to that, he went down to San Diego at this conference when he was a three-star general and said, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun shooting. I'll be right up front with you. I'll be right up there with the rest of you because I'm a brawler. I like fighting. That's what he says. And then when I commanded the 1st Marine Special Operations Task Force, we were blown up by a car bomb. This is a vehicle, a van filled with explosives, both containing shrapnel and fuel. An entire van detonated right on us at 9 o'clock in the morning. And that fuel, let me explain, that is how they evolved their roadside bombs to not just blast shrapnel and kill, but to horrifically wound. And when you hear an American screaming in pain, it makes you demoralized and less willing to fight. But what is even worse than that, I would submit, is when our leaders chase us down. It wasn't bad enough that we were blown up by that car bomb, shot at on the left side of the road by three jihadists in a vehicle firing AK-47s at us, which we killed. Then there was, on the other side of the road, formations where they would fire from a stationary element while the other would maneuver at us. We were also fired at by a sniper position. They dragged a vehicle across the road, blocking our, you know, our withdrawal. And but we did fight our way out. We killed those who were armed at us and none others. But at that time, General Mattis, he was the convening authority. So he's essentially the judge and jury. And he unleashed 45 criminal investigators to come after us. And this is contained. Yeah. How pleasant. So the seven of us who were accused had 45 criminal investigators, four prosecuting attorneys. Karen, we don't go to war when it's 7-1 odds. And we definitely don't go to war when there's a 96% failure rate, which at that time was the conviction rate for those in the Marine Corps that would enter a court. And so this ended up being the longest trial they singled out of the seven of us, myself and one other Marine Corps officer. And we went into a 3.5-week trial, the longest war crimes trial in Marine Corps history. But some of the things that preceded that talk in this book, and this is incontrovertible. It's what I fought for 11 years to get this information declassified. And what I just described to you, Karen, is not Jason Bourne's knock list. It's not the location of the submarines at sea. It's your garden variety gun battle. And it didn't need to be classified whatsoever. So much so that when they finally, after 11 years and having two of my attorneys file this in federal court to fight to get this declassified, which it should never have been, it went through the Pentagon's Office of Pre-Publication Security Review, and minor puppy to small dog changes, but nothing needed to be classified. This was done to save people from embarrassment. General Mattis put a gag order. So, Karen, if you're and your listeners approve of censorship, stuff that goes on like we see in Tehran, then you should look with a high esteem at somebody like General Mattis. Unfortunately, these tactics, and I can go on and on. I don't want to spoil the book. It is something that is, if they like combat action, if they also like courtroom drama, like in A Few Good Men, they will love this book. But this is nonfiction.
Make a movie of it for sure.
Yes.
First off, I was terribly remiss. You are a major retired from the U.S. Marine Corps, Fred Galvin, and thank you so much for your service. And it just wasn't in my notes, and I do apologize because we revere people in the military around here, and it breaks our hearts, breaks my heart, what is being done to purge the military of patriots. If you would, since we're short on time and we want everybody, I have the book pulled up right now on my screen on Amazon, A Few Bad Men, The True Story of U.S. Marines Ambushed in Afghanistan and Betrayed in America. It says here that he did this, General Mattis, at the behest of the deep state. Since all of us are starting to really see what the deep state has in store for all of us, talk about that a little bit and tease us to get this book by talking about the connection here, which we're only now beginning to see.
Absolutely, Karen. So when you go into Washington, D.C., whether it's Dulles or Reagan, you look at the names on the tops of those buildings. That's who is the deep state. They will hire all these retired generals to do their bidding so they can get access into the intelligence community and the Pentagon. This is big money. When we're talking about the creation of Marine Special Operations, which I was the first commanding officer that stood up a task force that deployed to combat in Afghanistan, that doesn't make a lot of money. It's just the same types of attacks that the current commandant of the Marine Corps, who's designing systems and strategies involving psychological operations, these don't require the big budgets that Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon, just like we see the current Secretary of Defense just came from Raytheon. We saw Mattis go right back to General Dynamics. Well, that's who their Geppettos are. And if you're not making them money, they don't see any need for you. So, of course, these people want to appease those that require them to increase their return on investment. But when we went in there, it was not only known that we didn't kill civilians, they had our polygraphs, like I stated, but they placed me in charge of all the entire training for the entire Marine Special Operations Command while I was awaiting trial. So you'd have to be a lunatic to think if you had a mass murderer who was accused of killing 19 and wounding 50, put him in charge of all the training. But it highlights why they didn't believe that, but they were still sicking the dogs on us. They sent those investigators, they threatened two Marines of Latino origin. One, they threatened to deport his mother back to Mexico. Here's a Marine who legally immigrated, legally naturalized. His crime is that he joined the Marine Corps to serve his country during time of war, and they put the squeeze on him. They continued to move the media out of the courtroom. They said, we have to go to classified sessions, which this young sergeant testified under oath with the jury heard, but the media wasn't there during so much of our testimony. But it's all in the book now. It's all been declassified. But these Gestapo tactics that they used to squeeze this young sergeant at the threat. And if you come over here, even if you're born and raised here, you may not remember everything you learn in social studies as a 14-year-old kid, especially that the 14th Amendment prohibits any American from having their citizenship revoked, whether you're native-born or naturalized. But that's what they did. And he admitted to signing that manufactured statement, which basically condemned those of us who were accused. And that's what General Mattis did, among others. It's in the book. I don't want to spoil it all. It is, read the book and don't wait for a movie, please. It's you read this, and everyone who has read this, from the movie producers who signed the blurbs on the book to members of Congress, everybody is shocked that not only this happened, but that they got away with it. These individuals, just like Mattis, all got promoted all the way up. Glorious assignments, lavishly compensated on those boards of directors at these defense corporations. This is currently going on with another case, completely different, but it's inside the Marine Special Operations Command. They've went to trial and they're waiting their verdict. It's called the MARSOC 3. So this is not a one-off. This has never been fixed. And that's why I wrote the book, so that people are aware of what type of injustice is going on in the largest employer in the United States of America.
Yeah, I'm so glad you did. We all, Major Galvin, remember soldiers being demonized in Afghanistan in American media. I hope this doesn't spoil the book either, but so what would you say, whatever you want to say about this, was the true motive in demonizing and framing American soldiers for something they didn't do?
Well, when you look at the reason why we were at war in Afghanistan for just under 20 years, the goal, especially when they utilize this tactic that it's a strategy, actually, that General Petraeus and General Mattis developed jointly, called the counterinsurgency strategy. They developed this in 2006. It was implemented in Afghanistan in 2006, and this is a failed strategy. This is to win the hearts and minds. General Mattis even went the extra mile to adopt the Hippocratic Oath and saying that Marines need to first ask, first do no harm. So that was the mixed signals that we were sending while we were fighting jihadists who wanted to kill infidels. And when you say, why would you send mixed signals? Well, when you want the war to drag on forever. Who does that benefit? Again, the defense firms. And who will work for those defense firms? Well, we see right now who is, and just like the current Secretary of Defense came from General Dynamics, went back to General Dynamics. The last chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dunford, he's right at Lockheed Martin. This isn't conjecture or hearsay. This, and I guarantee, even though that treaty to defend Taiwan has expired, all of those defense firms want a war with China. And when China pushes across the Straits of Taiwan, I guarantee the only way to dislodge China from Taiwan will to be have a long and bloody and very profitable war for all those defense firms, while the sons and daughters of America will die by the tens of thousands doing amphibious and airborne operations fighting the Chinese off that island. And that's exactly what these defense companies want. Mark my words, Karen, this is not what America wants or needs, but when we're perceived weak because our generals buckle at every social program and they, you know, just like Hunter Biden, they have compromised themselves for the almighty dollar that benefits themselves, and it sacrifices the sons and daughters of America.
That's
we have to
chilling.
Wake up.
That is totally chilling, and people need to decide for themselves. We are almost out of time. Do you think, just a quick question, because there's so many, and Major Galvin, is there any difference in your mind between a General Mattis and, say, a General Milley? Or is it just
worse?
Yes.
One big difference when you talk about big is Smiley Miley, the well-nourished warrior. We look at a guy who's formerly in special operations. He was a Green Beret, actually a dive team leader. Those are the most fit. He also knows the difference of right and wrong. But it is very sad that both Secretary of Defense and the assignment of Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, those are selected by the President of the United States, but they're actually approved. And these people, I believe Donald Trump, who spent time in a preparatory school that was military oriented when he was growing up.
Looks like we got to wrap it up. Wrap it up real quick because people want to hear the rest of this real quick.
Yes.
There is a difference. There is a difference.
Yes. There's a difference.
He's even more leftist, I think.
He is.
Major Fred Galvin, get his book. You can get it on Amazon. A Few Bad Men, the True Story of U.S. Marines Ambushed in Afghanistan and Betrayed in America. Thank you so much. Thank you once again for your service. We so appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you, Major. That about does it for us this week on Spouting Off. Tune in tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern live for another episode. Stay strong, stay courageous, and speak out. Keep spouting off.